for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, November the 29th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on a haughty spirit.
Without further ado, Sister Jerry McGee from Lindale, Texas is coming.
Praise the Lord. Sounds like it might be nap time, huh? How many of you like the new schedule? Where you have a little break in there. Better. I'm sorry I get to meet Miss Pastor Henson, who's become a sweet, sweet friend of mine. Dr. Oliver, who wrote the book Sons of Zadok, he asked Nikki to put me on his email list, and the first email Nikki sent me changed my life. I've been grieving over family members that used to sit in my lap for years and years, and then they'd put up a wall, and I had been grieving over that. And tonight, when I was going over this message, I was looking up some more definitions, because the title of this message is A Haughty Spirit. And I was looking up some more definitions to haughty, and I thought, I'm ashamed to teach this message because everything I read hit me, so I'm going to get delivered with you. And you may think, well, I'm not haughty. But the Bible says it's better to be patient than haughty. Have you ever been impatient? Every time you get up on your high horse, can I tell you who's ruling? Satan, Leviathan, Python, Antichrist, and Jezebel. Some people say, well, I've been delivered from a spirit of Jezebel, and it's just really a controlling spirit. And maybe you have, but let me tell you something. It's something you have to keep down. God said, take a lowly seat. Amen? And so when God showed me this some months back, as I've been dealing with pride issues, haughty issues, you know, Jesus has been Lord of my life for 50 years, and I can tell you there has not been a day in 50 years that He hadn't been the Lord of my life. But how many of you know that you get delivered in increments? We're all a work in progress. Had I seen this 50 years ago, I probably wouldn't even know what it was. So when I saw this in my life, probably this has been the worst sin of my life. Impatience. And, you know, you can kind of be walking in peace and go to a restaurant and you get a slow, dumb waitress and you want to rear up on your high horse And that's probably where it affects me most is if I'm someplace and somebody's being incompetent or not doing right, and I'm the kind of person that I'll help you. I don't care where you've been, what you've been into. If I see you have a heart to repent, I'll do anything I can to help you as long as it's in the Word of God. But if you have any sense at all, it's because God gave it to you. And when you get up on your high horse, it's something you have to keep down. You have to keep crucifying your flesh. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily walk. Paul said, I die daily. And so it's better to be patient than haughty. I want to give you the definitions of haughty. And be repenting when I read them, because they're going to hit you too. I don't think I'm the only one in here with a pride problem. It is embarrassing, though. Anyway, I thank the Lord for discipline. I thank the Lord for problems in my life or pain in my life, because if you didn't have a problem, you would never seek God the way you seek God. And sometimes we want deliverance right then, and sometimes we get it right then. But sometimes God knows that if we got delivered from the thing that we think we need to get delivered from, we wouldn't see all the other hundreds of things that God wants to deliver us from. And if we got delivered right off the bat, if you don't see the sin in your life, you'll just go back and get right where you were.
Is that right? So God's smart. And I thank God for His discipline. I love His discipline. And I've asked God, every time this thing manifests in me, God, I want to take the lolly seed. Today I was driving and all the way from Lindale, I prayed in tongues. And I said, God, I want to be a humble person. And He said, I'm making you one. Praise God. It's been a process. Okay, let me get back to my notes here. And I'm going to give you the definition of a haughty spirit. It's abominable. You know, when you see it in somebody else, you can't stand it. But you don't see it when it's in you. This haughty spirit keeps you from seeing yourself. And God wants, and Lord, I pray you put a mirror in front of all of our faces to show us every time we do anything that displeases you, let us see ourselves, Lord, the way you see us. We ask that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come to before you and we present our bodies to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. We offer up to you our members as instruments of righteousness. Lord, we put on meekness. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We clothe ourselves with humility. Father, we want to put on love and make no provision for our flesh. Father, I pray for the truth that sets us free today, all of us. And Father, for that person out there that says, no, this doesn't apply to me. I've been delivered from Jezebel, Python, Leviathan, and Antichrist, and all those spirits. Lord, I pray you show them that this thing works. Every time our flesh is alive, it's working. And you told us to crucify our flesh, to deny ourself and take up our cross and follow you. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We're here because we want to please you, Lord. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you cover this place, this camp meeting, Patty and Kevin and Linda and Rick and Sandy and Don and Ada and all their families and all of our families, and cover us and our ministries and churches with the blood of Jesus. We ask you to station ministering holy angels all over this camp. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth, and we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. I bind any spirits that would try to snatch the word of God. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, the ministries represented here, this camp, Patty, Kevin, Linda, Sandy, Don, Ada, Linda, and anyone else, Jane and Benny, anyone else that participates at this camp. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We thank you for the truth that sets us free. You know, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And today, Carla and I were talking on the phone, and she was saying, she didn't know why, and I hope she don't mind me, she didn't know why people had a hard time confronting people with truth. We do. It's a hard thing to do. But you're not helping people until you do. I thank God for Merle that told me that the root of my problems was pride. Pride? Me? Anyway, that got me on a long roll of pride, arrogance, insolence, arrogance, rudeness. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, the dictionary definition of haughty is arrogant, overbearing pride, evidenced by superior manner towards others. Arrogance, high-handedness, lardiness, superbia, which means elegant, elevated, exalted. Unreasonable and inordinate self-esteem, personified as one of the deadly sins. When I was praying a while ago, the Lord showed me that haughtiness is a principality. It's not one of these little bitty puny guys. It's right up there with, in fact, it's a manifestation of Satan when we rear up in the tent of flesh and please our flesh. It means to be condescending, disdainful, supercilious, and oh my goodness, this was the one I was looking up in the room. I think, oh dear Lord, I don't know if I want to teach this message or not. It was too embarrassing. And I'm not trying to draw attention to myself except to confess my faults before you. The Bible says if we do that, if we humble ourselves, we'll be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
I think it's time that we be transparent, because all of us are a mess. But it means commanding. Oh, that don't fit me. authoritative. And of course, God wants us to have authority in Christ Jesus. But if you're authoritative in the flesh, that's operating under the spirit of Satan. Forward. Domineering. Are y'all repenting? Egotistical. Insolent. Arrogant. Rude. Lofty. Nervy. Overbearing. Scornful. Snobby. Uppity. Vainglory. It means patronizing, which means pretentious, arty, affected, assuming, bombastic, conspicuous, flamboyant, flashy, flaunting, gaudy, grandiose, high-flown, high-sailing, highfalutin, hollow, imposing, inflated, jaggy, lofty, mincing. You know, in Isaiah 3, it talks about the daughters of Zion, the church members are walking with mincing steps, and I think that means prissy. I haven't done that one, okay? And you know what it says, looking down on others, I really love you. I don't mean that that one thing of thinking I'm better than somebody, I don't feel that way. But in these other areas, haughty, overbearing, God says take a lowly seat. This ties in with meekness, and I've shared before, I don't think until God showed me this, I've had a meek day in my whole life. And all of this stuff has been in my life, coming down through the generations, plus the way I was raised, my mother and father. I mean, this is a generational curse, probably in all of our lives. Ornate, ostentatious, overambitious, overblown, pompous, puffed up, all-powerful. It means contentious, which is the manifestation of scorn and contempt. It means overbearing pride and presumption. It means controlling others, which that's really just a Jezebel spirit. Or it's a Jezebel spirit is just really a spirit that controls others or has to be in control, which is rebellion, which is Antichrist, opposes the word of God. Superiority, displaying a sense of being better than others, whether you feel it or show it. Superiority, snobbery, snobism, the trait of condescending to those of a lower social status. And those are the dictionary definitions, but the Hebrew and Greek means to exalt yourself, to lift yourself up, to make yourself high. And what brought this message on, one day I had gone to the vet and it was 100 degrees outside and I had 3 puppies in the car and I left the car, just the top part open. And I ran in the bank, in a branch bank, to cash a cashier's check somebody had given me. A cashier's check. Now you think a cashier's check is a good check. And so I was being so patient. And the lady took her time, and she took her time, and she had to call the branch bank to see if a cashier's check, and she couldn't get them, so she had to call another bank. And I said, I was being really patient. And then it was like that thing, patiently I said, if that check's not any good, you can just deposit it. I mean, you can just charge it back to my account. I've been a customer here for 25 or 30 years. You know, and so then I got convicted. I said, please forgive me. I said, the Lord has really been whipping my behind for that very thing. And so I began to look up the words on haughty and what it meant. And I saw this thing was in my life, and I said, Lord, every time this manifests in me, I pray you show me, Lord, because I don't want it in my life. And it gets less and less, and I thank God for it. So we're commanded to clothe ourselves with humility. We're commanded to humble ourselves, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a choice. And Paul said he dies daily,
And Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself. So if this thing's rearing up, sometimes we don't even see it rear up. So we need to ask God to show us when it's starting to rear up so we can
put our foot in the neck of Leviathan. And you may be like me and thinking, you know, it not dawning on you that impatience is rebellion. And it's rebellion because haughtiness is the opposite of humble. Jesus said, if you come under me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. Well, for me to humble myself before the Lord, when I do that, when I die to what I want, die to my flesh, choose against this haughty thing, choose against rebellion, choose against pride. When I choose against those things, I'm denying myself. And then when I die to myself, the life of the Lord Jesus comes through to produce the character and nature of Jesus, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And any other thing that manifests through us, God does not accept. Any work that you do that you're not dead to your flesh is a work that God will not accept. You have to be dead to yourself so that the credit that comes forth is love, joy, peace. You know, when you're haughty, you have a dumb waitress or a dumb waiter. You know, when you get up on your high horse, can I tell you, if you're not dumb, it's because God gave you a brain. If you're competent, it's because God made you competent. And when you get into these pride and haughtiness, you're really taking credit away from God that gave it to you. You see the pride in all of that? I thank God that He don't show us everything at one time. Oh, dear Lord. And I have so many people call me and they say, well, I've already been through deliverance. And I say, well, you know, I've been a Christian 50 years and I'm getting rid of some big things now. Is that right?
Yes.
I think, you know, you've heard about picking leaves on a tree. I've been picking leaves for 50 years. You know, get that. That don't look good. That don't look good. But I'm getting some roots now. And you know what? The Lord had to give me a big problem before I could see all of that. So you can thank God that He gives you problems. Because if you didn't have a problem, you would never see God. So I can thank God for the problems. And I hate to always be, and I'm not going to be condemned about it because it's what God gave me. But working on the eyes is something that I've been working on, and all of this is coming out of seeking the Lord for the roots to eye problems. And go to Galatians, please. Galatians 5:19. I want you to see the character and nature of Satan being manifested. Galatians 5:19 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. You know, impatience may not look like anger, but it is. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and there's spiritual drunkenness and physical drunkenness. Carousing and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it tells us up in verse 18 says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then it gives you the deeds of the flesh. And so you could say, if you're not led by the Spirit, you do come under the law. And when you're under the law, demons are executors of the law. 1 Timothy 1:8 says, the law is not made for a righteous man, but it's made for adulterers and those who hate their mothers and fathers and homosexuals and liars and fornicators. And it lists all these sins. And then it says, then any other thing that's contrary to the sound law. And so you're not under the law as long as you obey this word. And a good illustration is if you drive through hot springs and the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, and you're driving 55 miles an hour, you're not coming under the law. But you go 60 miles an hour through Hot Springs, and you get a ticket because you come under the law when you break the law. And it's the same with the Word of God. We're not under the law when we're walking in the Spirit. And God uses the demons to whip us back in line. This is demonic. And the physical ailments you have are demonic. The anger you have is demonic. God doesn't allow anger, outbursts of anger. It's rooted in idolatry. All of this is idolatry. God says in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and all iniquity is as idolatry. So any sin is idolatry. Anything that's hanging you up that's against God is idolatry. And so when I'm dead to my flesh, and for those of you who want to know how you do that, it means I choose in every situation against what I want to choose what God wants. I choose to line myself up with His Word, whether I want to or not. And that's what it's called, dying to the flesh. When I have to forgive, God says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Well, I don't want to forgive that turkey that hurt my feelings. Well, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And when you choose by an act of your will, because forgiveness is a choice and not an emotion, when you choose against you want to be mad at somebody, but you choose to forgive them, then my flesh suffers, doesn't it? Because it's doing something I don't really want to do, but I love God so much I'm going to do it. Does that make sense? And that means to put myself down to lift up Jesus. And when I choose death to me, the character and nature of Jesus comes through. And it's His character, love, joy, peace. You can't ever manufacture what only the Spirit of God can do. It's God's personality. And it only comes through when you're dead to your flesh. The way you're dead to your flesh is Romans 12:1. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice. So whenever I'm alive to my flesh, guess whose character and nature is coming through? Satan's character and nature comes through. And God wants us to... And you know what? It's not a one-time thing. It is a daily putting to death the deeds of the flesh. It's a daily walk of walking... That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we're going to be patient with the lady at the bank and love her. Are the people of the airline that have to go with their little thing and check all the puppies to make sure there's no bombs in there. One day, I got convicted another time. I told this security guard, and this is haughty thing manifested. I said, why don't you go down the border and check the people coming across and quit checking these little puppies? So one of my calls said, Mom, you could have gotten arrested. But see, that was not necessary. That was not walking in love. What kind of a Christian witness do you think? And now here I'm passing out books, how you can know where you'll spend eternity. And then you do that. It's abominable. Lord, please, I don't want to be that way. And they don't want to be that way. We want to manifest the fruit of Your Spirit, Lord, to love people. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, you'll go there. And I'm going to read a lot of scriptures to you. Colossians 3, verse 5, it says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And if you do a word study on the wrath of God, you'll see it's carried out by demons. He's executor. Habakkuk 1 says that God's eyes are too pure to approve evil, and He's appointed the wicked to judge. All things are His servants. So you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Just deal with God. I hear people say, I've been fighting the devil all day long. Well, Jesus defeated him at Calvary. Die to your flesh, and God will take care of him. Amen? Okay, it says, for on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. See, that's the character nature of Satan. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. Then verse 12. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and passion. This is not something God's going to do for you. It's something that we have to do. And no matter how many people pray deliverance over you, if you let that thing rear up, that's something that nobody can do but you. Die to your flesh. And you have to do that. And I can tell you, when you do that, demons start moving off. Amen? When you line yourself up with the Word of God. Verse 12. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. In other words, don't be cocky with the bank lady. And forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you forgive others. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, when indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing others with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Romans 6 says, we died with Christ and we are to reckon ourselves dead. It is not a 1 minute reckoning. It's a continuous walk, to walk in the Spirit. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, when we're dead to our flesh, the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through, and we manifest Christ. We are the Jesus to the world, not the devil to the world. If we submit to God in this, then we show forth his glory, his love, his character and nature. And when we don't, we manifest the character and nature of Satan. And our words to people mean nothing. Knowing this in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Why is it that when we're dead to our flesh, we're free from sin? Because it's the only time we're not sinning. It's the only time we're pleasing the Lord. And that's how we're holy as he's holy and perfect as he's perfect. It's not because we're turning the potter's wheel and trying to make ourselves perfect or make ourselves holy. If we die to ourselves, then the resurrected life of the Lord comes through. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. and let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So you see, it's a choice. Why would he say let it not reign if he's going to do it for us? And his grace is sufficient to do it. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. He gives grace to the humble, right? It says there's a throne of grace I can go to, but to get to that throne of grace, I have to humble myself, and to humble myself means I have to keep that thing dead in me that wants to keep rearing up. If I died with Christ, God wants me to quit kicking the coffin lid off. It's like a serpent. Just, you know, you're having a happy, good day and walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden that thing rears up, and it's like a serpent, bites everybody around them. And it is a serpent spirit. I'm going to do God willing, I'm going to do a word study on serpent. You know, a haughty spirit's got a sharp tongue, a lacerating tongue. It says in verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And I just want to interject this. If my obedience is to sin, who's the Lord of my life? Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus is Lord when I keep doing what he wants me to do. We all have areas, too, that we can be having a happy day, and boy, something just pushes our button, and there that serpent jumps out. And that's the areas that we need to get deliverance and get to crucify those areas. And, you know, I've been asking God, Lord, you know, I'm willing. You said, today I was praying, I said, Lord, you said your people volunteer willingly on the day of your power. Let it be the day of your power in my life, where you just put so much grace on me that that thing don't even do that anymore. And so I have to have obedience to the word of God, and that needs to be my master. Whatever controls me becomes my master. Isaiah 14:10, now you see Satan's character nature. It says, all they that speak, Isaiah 14:10, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Speaking to Satan. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials, the worm, is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Did you know one of the Hebrew words, definitions of haughty, is to breed worms? That could be a root to a person that has parasites. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. You see how that thing, I will rise up. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so God kicked him out of heaven. And he's a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary. Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them, triumphed over them at Calvary. And so how we defeat the devil is to continue denying ourselves and taking up our cross. And I love what Derek Prince says. Some of you may have heard this. Derek Prince says, your cross is any place your will crosses God's will. That's a good definition. What's the difference between pride and haughty? Pride just kind of feels it and thinks it, and haughty does it. Does that make sense? Because haughtiness is rooted in pride and rebellion. It's the characteristics of Satan. And when I did this teaching at my Bible study in Duncanville, and I saw that a python spirit is tied in with the spirit of haughtiness. Because the reason is, and Jezebel
haughtiness, antichrist, because it's the spirit of Satan. And in Leviathan, it's tied in with Leviathan, which the Bible says is king over all the sons of pride. So if I'm obedient to the flesh and to sin, then I'm making Leviathan, which is Satan, king over my life. It can jump out and bite like a snake. Leviathan, it says in Job 3:8, let those curse it who curse the day who awaken or arouse Leviathan. So pride, my words, this haughty thing is activated by words. And so it says that I awaken Leviathan through words, through cursing. In Isaiah 59, when it speaks of the word tongue in the Hebrew, in Isaiah 59, it means an ingot, which is a pool or a cove of water. And then in James 3, it says that the tongue is a rudder and it guides the ship. So my words activate this thing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The haughty person finds it difficult to tolerate other people's character flaws and their incompetence instead of realizing, hey, if you're competent, it's because God made you that way. God gave you what you have. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. The haughty person fails to recognize his own shortcomings. Instead, he focuses on the shortcomings of others. Obadiah 3 says, our pride has deceived us. Most often when we speak of others, it's because we're defending our own pride and taking credit for something that God gave us that we don't even deserve. Stepping on others, putting other people down, is not walking in love. He who guards his mouth and his tongue, it says in Proverbs 21, guards his soul from troubles. Proud, haughty scoffer are his names who acts with insolent pride. Notice it's an action. The Psalms also equate haughtiness with evil speech. Psalms 101 warns that God punishes the slanderer and does not endure haughtiness. And there it says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. You see, when I operate that way, there's going to be a discipline from the Lord. Because God disciplines every son whom he loves. Thank God for his discipline. The Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. Why is that? You love it because it changes you, and your soul is your personality, and you want to change to be like Jesus. So that's why you can welcome discipline, is because it'll change you. In 1 Samuel 22:28, it says, God's eyes are on the haughty to bring them low or to abase them. In our attempt to elevate ourselves by stepping on others, we really lower ourselves. And it's a big root to eye problems and whatever other kind of problems you might have. Proverbs 6:16 says, there are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud, haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Well, how do we shed innocent blood? By lacerating them with our mouth. You know, I hear parents tell their kids they're stupid, they're dumb, they can't learn, they're ugly, they're too short, too tall, bad boy, bad girl. We should never talk to our children that way. Because when you speak blessings, God's grace is imparted to that person to carry out what you bless, and you speak curses, and demons collect to that person to carry out what you curse. So if you have little children or grandchildren, tell them how wonderful they are. I told my granddaughter she was so wonderful so much when she was growing up. You know, I didn't speak correctly with one of my sons. I did with Kyle, the son that you've met that comes here. But with my grandchildren, I did it right. And one day my little granddaughter, I mean, she had to keep up the standard. She said, Mommy, shut the door. I want to throw a fit, and I don't want Grandmother to see it. I thank the Lord for awesome grandkids.
And, you know, in the New Covenant, Jesus fulfilled the New Covenant by walking in love.
Pride shows a lack of love, because love is not puffed up and does not seek its own. 1 Corinthians 13, the pride of life is of the world, not of the Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Some spirits that work with haughty is perfectionism, accusation, competition, mockery, stubbornness, jealousy, self-righteousness, gossip, boastful, sarcastic, and critical. Having a critical eye is another big root to eye problems. I grew up in a very critical family. And you know, it's sad sometimes when you only see some people laugh when they're making fun of somebody. Usually, I'm not going to say that. So there's a difference between pride, which is a state or feeling of being proud, his own opinion of oneself, importance, dignity, merit, and haughty displays of action to set self high, lofty, and arrogant. It means to be high. The Hebrew and Greek definition is to be high and lofty. This is a condition of the heart. Haughtiness is a bad quality or characteristic that's deeper than a mental conclusion. Jesus Christ named it among with murderers, thievery, blasphemy, and other wrongdoing, and said that from inside of a heart such things issue forth. Mark. King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26:3-5 said he ruled well and enjoyed Jehovah's blessings for many years, but the Bible records state, as soon as he was strong, his heart became haughty, even to the point of causing ruin, so that he acted unfaithfully against Jehovah God. He lifted himself up to perform priestly duties, which was a privilege that was given only the priest, and God struck him with leprosy for the rest of his life. Another example was King Hezekiah. At one time, good King Hezekiah became for a brief period haughty in heart, and his haughtiness was evidently affecting the people he ruled. He had been exalted in rulership because of Jehovah's blessings, but he failed to appreciate and to recognize that all credit should have gone to God. The Chronicles writes of him, but according to the benefit rendered him, Hezekiah made no return, for his heart became haughty, and there came to be indignation against him and against Judah. The account continues, however, Hezekiah humbled himself for the haughtiness of his heart, and Lord, we do humble ourselves for the haughtiness of our heart, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Jehovah's indignation. You know, I've asked the Lord, and I'm serious, I was reading about King Solomon the other day, and I thought, this man got into all this idolatry, the wisest man that ever lived besides Jesus. And I thought, Lord, if I would ever turn on you, I ask you to take me out the day before. I don't want to live and not please you. And I told the Lord today, or last week I told him again today. And I had said this before, but I really meant it. I said, Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for me to be blind, then let me be blind. But Satan, you can't make me blind. But all I ask, Lord, is that I fulfill the purpose that you put me here for. And I meant that. I really meant it the last two times I prayed it. You know, it was kind of like this there for a while. God opposes haughtiness. And you may be like me. Sometimes we wonder, you know, why, you know, has our ministry not gone more than we thought or what? And God says he sees the haughty from afar. Haughtiness is foolishness and a sin. And Jehovah sets himself against the haughty to bring them low. And if we don't forsake it, it'll bring destruction in our lives, into our children's lives. And it's okay to tell somebody you're sorry, to tell your family you're sorry.
So many times that's all they want to hear is for you to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. I've said that to Kyle so many times that, oh, Mom, yeah, you, about 50 times you said that. But he appreciates it. But I'm saying, sometimes it's easier to forgive you than it is to forgive me for failing. Because you want to be the best mother, the best daddy, the best, the best, the best. It's all idolatry. God wants you to be the best. But it could be an idol in your heart. And then, you know, it's an idol when you get your feelings hurt when somebody accuses you of not being the best.
Guarding against haughtiness, a person should therefore watch carefully to keep haughtiness out of his heart.
And I just want to read some scriptures about haughtiness. Second, in these last days, you're going to see it operating more in the world. And you'll see that the distinguishing characteristic of the world will be haughtiness.
It says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God. All of this is Satan's personality. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Are you that kind of a person, that you hear the truth and you walk away and forget what you looked like? God said, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. So many times people call for deliverance and they want you to do something for them that only they can do. We can give insight, we can bind the demons, we can help get the bullies off your back. But if you're not willing to seek God with your whole heart, you won't keep your deliverance. You'll go right back and never learn anything from what you go through. Be a wise person. Learn what you go through. Learn from everything you go through. I can honestly tell you, everything I've ever gone through in my life has worked for my good. I told somebody that once and they said, not me. Everything I've gone through has ruined me. You know why it ruined them? Because they became bitter instead of better. And that's what happens. If you don't deal with your sin in your trial, you'll become a bitter person. But if you keep on asking God for answers, and He'll give them to you. He just loves to give you answers. And then you can be conformed into His image, for that's the purpose of the trial. Romans 8 says, everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. That's the purpose of the trial, is to make you more like Jesus. If you deal with your sin in the trial, it'll make you more like Jesus. You'll get more of His image and less of the devil's. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is he, is his name who deals in insolent pride. Isaiah 3:16. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing steps as they go out and making tinkling in their feet. He says He'll pluck out the scalps of the daughters of Zion. And we can say, well, maybe we haven't been, but our forefathers. And that's something I've been doing lately, is not just dealing with my sin, but I've really looked back and seen example. My forefathers all talked about Jesus all the time. But of my uncles that sat around and talked about Jesus, they were all alcoholics except my daddy. But they were talking about Jesus. One uncle met his wife in a nightclub. But he was in there preaching about Jesus. You see, the hypocrisy. I've been taking accountability for the hypocrisy in my bloodline. And as I read the Word, I line myself up with the Word, and I forgive my forefathers for committing the same sin, and then I deal with the generational iniquities of forefathers and my own sin. Isaiah 10:33, behold, the Lord of hosts shall be Lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. Isaiah 24:4. The earth mounts and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Ezekiel 16:50. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Zephaniah 3:1. In that day shall you not be ashamed for all your doings wherein you have transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the middle of you them that rejoice in your pride, and you shall no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. So we have a choice. We can have on God's armor, Ephesians 6, the armor of light in Luke 11, I think. God's shield, and walk in humility. Or we can have on Satan's armor, and that word in a negative, shield, means a strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. You know, Goliath, he had an armor bearer, but the word shield there means the strong, scaly hide of a crocodile. He was operating, the word for Goliath means a sorcerer. He was in rebellion, a sorcerer. And so he had the wrong shield. David had God's shield, God's protection. You can choose God's protection or Satan's, which ends up in destruction. He may promote you for a little while, then he jerks the rug from out from under you. I have a little sister that got into New Age stuff, and I warned her, and she got into all kinds of stuff, and she's been prayed for. She was born my freshman year of college. I was 18 years older than her. And I warned her some months back that she was dealing with principalities. She wasn't dealing with little penny ante demons. And she said, I knew you would say it was a demon. But God brought that prideful, haughty, brought it down. She lost everything. And I got my sister back. And one of these days, she's going to look back on this hard time she's gone through. I mean, this girl was living in a $1 million house, had a $40,000 watch, was driving a new Mercedes, lost it all. Went on food stamps. There's nothing wrong with food stamps, but if you've grown up with everything, in fact, I believe in taking food stamps if you need to. I mean, I'm not criticizing that at all. And God's miraculously healed her. She's letting me do deliverance on her. And God, as I've been breaking soul ties with her mother, who she was bitter toward, my mother, God's healed her of a whole bunch of miraculous healings. And I thank the Lord. And we can manifest Jesus and his character, or we can manifest Satan's character. It's our choice. It's a walk in the spirit through dying to our flesh, or it's a walk in the flesh through being alive to it. We can choose God's ornaments or ornaments of pride, God's strength or the strength of something else. We can operate with the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit. We can be fruitful or fruitless, God's glory or shame and dishonor. We can have God's anointing or an unholy anointing. You know, just because a prophet can read your mail, that doesn't mean he's a prophet of God. Prophets of God are going to tell you to repent of your sin. There's many, many people operating in a false gift of prophecy that can read your mail. It's a fortune-telling, divining spirit. And I'm for prophecy. I mean, I want God to be able to, you know, to work in me so I can prophesy more. So it's a valid gift. But also, if there's a cult in a person's bloodline, they can tell you things, and it's demons telling them. So if you had an occultic background, you need to get the demonic thing cleansed out of your bloodline. A true prophet of God will tell you to repent. Jeremiah 23 says, you know, I didn't send these prophets, but they ran. And they prophesied visions of their own imagination. If these people would say what I said, my people would repent of their sin. Read Jeremiah 23. And so let that be the test of your favorite prophet. If he's not telling you to repent, there's no holiness, there's no righteousness, there's no cross. He's an enemy of the cross. If he leaves out crossless messages, he's an enemy of the cross. And Paul talked about that.
You have God's covering.
Or you can let the anointed cherub cover you. But he only does it for a little while, and then he jerks the rug out from under you like he did my little sister. And I warned her ahead of time that was going to happen. You can have God's armor or Satan's. And so we're all a work in progress. And now that I know the truth, I'm going to get off my high horse and take a lowly seat. So why don't you stand up and ask the Lord to show you. Are you an impatient person?
Lord, I ask for the truth
that sets me free. Let me know why you let me hear this message, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you show me what I need to repent of. I want to be a humble person, Lord. I come unto you because I labor and I'm heavy laden, and you said you'd give me rest. I take your yoke upon me and I learn from you, for you're gentle and humble. And I'll find rest for my soul, for your burden is my burden. Your burden is my burden is heavy. Your burden is light. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I just ask you to speak to every person's heart now. Lord, I ask you to forgive us. Forgive me. Play with me. Forgive me for haughtiness, arrogance, being overbearing. Forgive me for pride, acting superior, self-righteousness. Being high-handed, lordy, suburbia, unreasonable, inordinate self-esteem. Lord, forgive me for elevating myself and exalting myself. Being commanding and authoritative in the flesh. Forgive me for being forward in the flesh. Domineering, cocky, egotistical, insolent. Forgive me for arrogance, rudeness, being lofty-minded, nervy, overbearing, scornful, snobby, uppity, vainglory, spiritually prideful. Forgive me for being patronizing, looking down on others, exalting myself, being high and mighty, and riding up on my high horse. Lord, I choose to get off the high horse and take a lowly seat as your word commands me to do. Lord, forgive me for being assuming, affected, conspicuous, flamboyant, flashy, flaunting, gaudy, grandiose, high-flowing, high-flying, haughty, highfalutin, hollow, imposing, inflated, jazzy, lofty, mincing, ornate, ostentatious, overambitious, overblown, pompous, puffed up, scorning others, taking away credit from criticizing others, and taking credit to myself for the gifts you've given me. God, you didn't have to give me anything, but I thank you. Forgive me for being domineering, feeling superior, impatient. God, I clothe now by an act of my will myself with humility. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I no longer want to make any provision for my flesh. And I humble myself before you. God, I want to humble myself before you have to humble me in a negative way. Forgive me for rebellion, Antichrist, Jezebel, having a controlling spirit, not walking in the spirit. Manifest in the character nature of Satan. letting demons control me, letting Satan control me. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for having an attitude of I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit upon the mount, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Forgive me, Lord, for having the attitude of Satan, breeding worms. Oh, God. Forgive me for expressing haughtiness, speaking words like a serpent, lacerating people with my heart, with my mouth, setting on fire the course of my life with words, burning down people with my words. God, forgive me for not controlling the rudder. I want to say this. The tongue is a rudder and no man can tame it. But if you get your heart pure, your tongue will be pure in the area that your heart's pure. Are you hearing me? You cannot tame your tongue, but you can get your heart purified because wherever it's pure, it's going to speak pure words. Does that make sense? So Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to purify my heart. Let me say this too. When certain things always come out your mouth, say, Lord, why is that always coming out of my mouth? Or why am I always thinking this thing or that? Because it's coming out of the heart. God tells us to take our thoughts captive, because if you don't take your, you know, you can be mulling something over, thinking about somebody, and you might not say it. And after a while, you keep letting that thing turn around, and it's going to come out and bite somebody. And God says, take your thoughts captive. But there again, you cannot take your thoughts captive till you say, Lord, why am I always thinking that? And then deal with it, and that will be one less place where the enemy will attack you and attack others. Forgive me for it being intolerant of others. Forgive me for being deceived about myself. Forgive me for speaking evil of others. Forgive me for thinking I'm so smart, putting other people down, not guarding my mouth. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for slander, slandering my neighbor, speaking against your children. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for haughtiness that has brought me low and abased me. And you said haughty eyes will be abased. Forgive me, Lord, for haughty eyes. Eyes that lift myself up in my eyes when I'm considering others. Forgive me for elevating my step, stepping on others, teasing others, and saying I was just kidding. No, I wasn't. It was in my heart. What's in my heart comes out my mouth. Forgive me for not defending truth. Forgive me for having a proud look, haughty look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood through lacerating people with my mouth. Forgive me for not walking in love. Forgive me for perfectionism, accusation, competition, mockery, stubbornness, self-righteousness, gossip, being boastful, sarcastic, critical. In Jesus' name. Forgive me for being self-inflated, having an exaggerated view of myself. Forgive me for murder, thievery, blasphemy. Not giving you the credit for what you've done. Forgive me for being foolish. Forgive me, Lord, for being a lover of self, lover of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, unforgiving. I forgive every person that's raining on my parade right now. Every person I don't like, I choose to forgive them. Forgive me for being a malicious gossip, without self-control, being brutal, a hater of good, being treacherous, reckless, conceited, lover of pleasure rather than lover of God. Forgive me for holding to a form of godliness and denying its power. Forgive me for not avoiding people like this. And I've been like this too, Lord. Lord, forgive me for entering households and captivating weak women, weighted down with sins, and led on by various impulses, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, forgive me for pride that would cause me to fall. Forgive me for haughtiness and pride that would cause me to be destroyed. Making you angry, Lord. Walking with mincing steps. Forgive me for pride and haughtiness that would cause you to allow me to be cut down. Lord, I want to be a light that shines out in this dark world, in the days we're living in. I choose your armor. And Lord, I just cut off that tough, scaly hide of a crocodile I've been trusting in to be my shield. I want you to be my shield, Lord. Forgive me for choosing Satan's protection over your protection. I'm being destroyed because of that. Forgive me for manifesting Satan's character instead of your character, Lord. Forgive me for thinking that my way's better. I choose to die to my flesh. I choose to choose your way over my way in every situation. I choose your ornaments, Lord. I just take the sword of the Spirit and ask you to cut these ornaments of pride off me. And I ask you to cut off the yoke of iron that came in through pride and rebellion. Lord, I choose your strength over the strength of something else. Alcohol, drugs, sex, or whatever's my thing. Lord, I choose to operate with your Holy Spirit, and I renounce the unholy spirit. I've been fruitless, Lord, and I want to be fruitful. Lord, I want your glory, and I ask you to forgive me for exchanging your glory for shame and dishonor. Lord, I choose the anointing of the God, and I renounce the unholy anointing. I choose your covering, Lord, and I renounce the anointed cherub that covers. I choose your armor, Lord, and I renounce Satan's armor. Forgive me for letting Python work in me. Forgive me for thinking that I need to do all the talking. You know, that's been something that's been in my life too, and that's just pride and haughtiness. Yesterday I had the victory. I was at a Thanksgiving thing, and there were so many times I started to chime in, and the Lord said, be quiet. And I did. Yay! Day of victory. I want more days like that, Lord. We're supposed to speak when God tells us to speak. And for many words, transgression is unavoidable. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers for all these things. Python, Antichrist, Jezebel, controlling. Forgive me for having a controlling spirit. Forgive me for awakening Leviathan and arousing him through cursing, not speaking your word, speaking words. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers for doing the very same thing. Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life, through these things I've confessed, through these generational curses, through eye problems, sickness, death, cancer, heart problems, heart attacks, physical problems, diabetes. Forgive me for compromise in Jesus' name. And Lord, we break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and we put all these curses coming down our bloodline, we put it under the blood of Jesus, and we say it goes no further down our bloodline upon our children and upon our descendants in Jesus' name. Now I just come against in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man. I bind the spirit of Satan. I bind you, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I command you out now in Jesus' name. I command haughtiness, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, rudeness, a conspicuousness, perfectionism, I command you out. All spirits of high and lofty, come out. All controlling spirits have to come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of domineering spirits, lording spirits, high-mindedness, arrogance, insolence, rudeness, intolerance. I break the power of false anointings in Jesus' name. I break the power of suburbia. I break the power of condescension. I'm not saying that right. Condescending. Disdainfulness. Superciliousness. Being bossy. Cavalier. Cocky. Come out in Jesus' name. Egotism. Come out. Insolent, arrogant, rudeness, come out in the name of Jesus. Loftiness, nervy, overbearing, scornful, snobby, come out in Jesus' name. All uppity spirits, all vainglory, come out. Patronizing spirits, pretension, arty, affected, assuming, come out in Jesus' name. Bombastic, conspicuous, flamboyant, flashy, come out of us in Jesus' name. Flaunting, gaudy, grandiose, come out in Jesus' name. High flown, come out in Jesus' name. I break your power over every life in Jesus' name. All spirits of highfalutin, come out. Hollowness, come out. Imposing, inflated, in Jesus' name. Jazzy, come out. Lazy, lofty, mincing, come out. Ostentatious, ornate. All powerful, come out. All spirits that came in of trusting something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of each person in this room. I break the power of fear of not controlling. I break the power of disdain for authority. I break the power of not trusting authority. Lord, forgive me for overruling authority in Jesus' name. I forgive the authority figures in my life for modeling a poor picture of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for their incompetence in Jesus' name. I break your power. I bind these spirits up. I break the power of rebellion. Antichrist, come out in Jesus' name. Out of us in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Every spirit that came into the sins they've confessed, you loose them now in Jesus' name. We break soul ties with our forefathers in the name of Jesus. We call back everything of ours that got on them, and we send back everything of theirs that got on us in Jesus' name. We exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now you can do it however, but I exchange their image for the image of Christ, because through soul ties you get the image of whoever you have a soul tie with, a familiar spirit, and stuff gets on us and some of our stuff gets on them. And that's where, you know, the curse in Deuteronomy, God says, I'll scatter you over all the nations of the earth. Well, how can you be scattered in a million pieces except through soul ties? So in Jesus' name, Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. Now in Jesus' name, we break the power of every spirit that came in through every sin that's been confessed in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. I hope that helped you as much as it helped me. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.